Grump smiled fondly.
Brr! That sound be like music to my ears.
Chapter 14.
Whilst Captain Salmon Clog took a party around the headland to see what he could salvage of his ship, Badrang attended to other matters. Droop the bank vole stood before the tyrant in his longhouse. Badrang had his aides, Gurrid and Hisk, bring food for the spy. Roast seabird, big fish, new bread, and a flagon of damson wine were placed in front of Droop. But the treacherous creature had suddenly lost his appetite. He eyed the long, thin whipping rods held by Gurrid and Hisk, completely overawed in the presence of the mighty Badrang. The bank vole had told him all he knew, but Badrang was not satisfied. Danger radiated from the stoat's eyes. He was in an unpredictable mood.
Let me get this straight, Droop. You knew that the prisoners were going to escape from the prison pit, but you don't know how they did it. You know the ringleaders of the slave resistance, and you know they have buried weapons, but you don't know what their plans are. Don't play me for a fool, bank vole. Give me some good hard information that I can act upon.
Droop swallowed hard, his mouth dry as a bone.
I know exactly where the weapons are buried, sire.
Badrang smiled at Hisk and Gurrid. Coming swiftly out of his chair, he patted Droop's back, feeling the spy flinch beneath his touch.
Good, good. That's what I want to hear. Tell me exactly where they are.
Lord, they're inside the slave compound, buried in the earth beneath the sleeping pallet of an otter called Tulgrew. I watched her digging the hole. She didn't know I saw her.
Badrang turned to his aides.
Come on, let's go and take a look. You have done well, Droop. From now on you will be my eyes and ears in the ranks of the slaves. Sit down, eat, drink, and be easy.
When Badrang and his cronies had left the longhouse, Droop felt his confidence returning, his appetite too. Seating himself at the table, he poured a large beaker of wine and tore off a leg from the roast seabird. The bread smelled good and fresh as he stuffed it hungrily into his mouth, quaffing damson wine and setting his teeth into the hot meat. Droop allowed himself a rare smile. Let the others be helpful and noble to each other. He was in the business of self-preservation. The slaves had lain idle since the hostilities with Clog, but they knew it would not last. Badrang would soon have them toiling under the lash. The afternoon was warm and lazy, with hardly a breeze. They made the most of it, lying about in the sun. A mouse called Yarrow wandered over to the palisade and peered through a gap.
Barkjon, Badrang is coming this way with Gurrid and Hisk.
The old squirrel was instantly at his side.
Yes, I see them. I wonder what they want.
Badrang stood in the centre of the compound, a knowing smile hovering round his lips. The slaves shuffled nervously as Hisk and Gurrid wandered amongst them, flicking the long thin rods. The tyrant's voice was soft, almost friendly, as he addressed his captives.
Well, you've had a nice easy few days, but he'll be back to work in the morning. Stand by your beds while we take a head count.
They hurried to obey, giving Hisk and Gurrid's rods a wide berth. An eerie silence settled over the whole place as the two captains walked around the nervous creatures, standing by their pitiful sacks of straw, which served as beds. Gurrid took one side, Hisk the other, tapping their canes against each animal's chest as they counted. Hilgors, the old hedgehog, stood in front of a very young mouse called Hoopoe. As Gurrid's cane snaked out to touch the youngster, Hilgors battered it aside with his paw. He spoke out, his voice bold and inquiring.
What's all this about? What do you want of us?
Hilgors, is that your name?
That's what they call me.
I thought so. Let me see now. Which one of you is Barkjon?
Feldo's father took a pace forward.
I am Barkjon.
Badrang's eyes roved this way and that.
Keela. Is there a young otter named Keela?
Aye, that's me.
Keela held up a paw. Badrang stared at the otter a moment.
Good. Good. You can tell me which one is Tulgrew. Another otter like yourself.
Keela exchanged glances with Barkjon and Hilgors before replying.
Tulgrew?
There's no Talgru here.
Lie to me and you'll die, all three of you. Who is Talgru?
The otter could not see her friends endangered. She held up her paw.
My name is Talgru.
Badrang strode across to her and kicked the sack of bedding grass.
Move that and start digging.
Slowly, Talgru did as she was bid. The noon sun beat down on the compound. A small cloud of dust arose where the otter toiled away, digging the sandy clayish ground with both paws. Barkjohn looked across the hill gorse. Their eyes were sad with resignation. Talgru dug until she was standing in a pit half her own height. Sweat ran down into her eyes, hiding the look of puzzlement in them. Badrang sensed something is amiss.
Gurrad, Hisk, throw that otter out of the hole and take over.
The two captains scrambled to obey. Putting the rods aside, they heaved Talgru out of the excavation and began digging fast and hard under the tyrant's hot, angry eyes. All their questing paws found was earth and more earth. They were almost at head height when Badrang snapped at them.
Get out of it, fools! Can't you see there's nothing there?
As they pulled themselves out, Gurrad, the shorter of the two, slipped and fell back into the hole. There was an audible snigger among the slaves. Badrang wheeled around to face them.
We'll see how long you laugh doing double workloads tomorrow!
Hisk helped the rat out, and they padded wearily behind the tyrant as he swept out of the compound, his cloak billowing darkly against the noonday brightness. Talgru spread her dusty paws wide.
What happened to the weapons? They weren't there.
By their seasons, I wonder where they went.
Keela's face was the picture of innocence. Barkjohn wagged a paw under the otter's nose.
You know, you young rascal.
Keela smiled mischievously.
Aye, I know, but Droop doesn't. He watched Talgru bury them, and I watched him. When he fell asleep, I gently pulled Talgru and her bedding to one side. She was asleep too, weary after all that digging. So I just dug the weapons up and found a new hiding place for them.
Talgru shook her head in amazement.
But where did you put them, Keela?
Right in the centre of the compound there, where Badrang was standing when he first came in.
Droop was sitting among the remnants of his feast, sipping the last of the wine when the longhouse door opened with a bang. Badrang entered, flanked by Gurrad and Hisk. Wine spilled as the flagon went flying against the wall. Droop's chair was pulled from under him, and in a trice he was flat on his back with the tyrant's foot claws against his quivering throat.
You made a fool of me, Droop. I don't like being made to look a fool. I should kill you, but I won't. You will continue spying for me. However, first you must learn a hard lesson.
A sob rose in Droop's throat as Badrang called to his captains.
Bring me those rods, then guard the door so he can't run.
The hot, still summer evening was bringing the day to a close. Tram and Clog's crew sat out on the shore, grouped around cooking fires. The captain would not allow them to be billeted in Badrang's fancy fort, where they could be surrounded by the tyrant's horde while sleeping. Better the open shore, close to the tide line. Clog had inspected the hulk of his ship at low water. There was a chance the hulk could be towed ashore and saved to rebuild upon. The corsair's clothing steamed as it dried on him by the fire. He gnawed on a toasted mackerel and swigged noisily at a jug of old seaweed ale. He did not notice the strangely clad hare who was sitting beside him in the twilight until the creature spoke.
I say, old lad, any chance of a nip of that seaweed ale? I'm very partial to a drop of the old beach water.
The unflappable Clog hugged his jug close as he eyed the odd beast indignantly.
Get your own ale, rabbit. Here, you ain't one of my crew.
The hare nudged him cheekily and winked.
Should Ballywell hope not. Flippin' rabble, what?
Salmon turned to the nearest sea rat.
Ahoy, Grouch! Who is this cove? One of Badrang's?
Grouch squinted at the hare.
Can't recall seeing him at the fortress, Captain. Shall I run him through for you?
He drew a long, rusty dagger. Balor, for it was he, suddenly shot his paw out at the fire.
I say, look!
A huge column of green flame rose, reeked with yellow smoke. The corsairs fell back from the fire. A chunk of fish fell from Clog's open mouth to disappear down the front of his steaming shirt.
Strike me! A magic rabbit! How'd you do that, matey?
Can't tell you, old top. My throat's too parched for words.
Clog passed the jug of seaweed ale.
Then wet your whistle with this ear.
Balor scrubbed the rim of the jug with his paw, then emptied it with one long gulp. The sea rats were totally amazed.
Waste of good ale, that was. Like pouring it down a well.
Balor leapt up straight and gave a piercing howl.
Oh!
He fell flat on his back and lay quite still.
I knowed it. He's gone and done himself in from hogging all that ale too quick. That's a dead rabbit, mate.
No, I ain't, Captain. Look, the rabbit's coming to life.
Balor's long legs kicked out and upward. Once, twice, thrice. He began moaning, holding one paw to his throat while he stuffed the other down his mouth. Clog squinted closely at the stricken hare.
What's he doing now, Crosstooth?
Looks like something's stuck in his gullet, Captain. Oh, look out!
The corsairs gasped in amazement as Balor began pulling a long ribbon from his mouth. It opened out wide and frilly. Out and out it came as the hare pulled faster, paw over paw, changing colours as it issued from his mouth. Red, blue, pink, brown, green, purple, culminating in a vivid yellow with large black letters written upon it. Balor sat up and read it aloud.
Captain Tramon Clog! Why, that must be your good self, sir.
Clog scratched his plaited beard fiercely.
Aye, that's me name. How do you know?
Balor leaned close to Clog's ear.
It'd shock you what us magic rabbits know, my good fellow. Here.
He presented Clog with a rosy apple that he appeared to pull from the pirate stoat's ear. Tramon clacked his clogs together with delight. He was immensely taken with his newfound friend.
Grozzle, Boggs, fetch wine and vettles for our magic rabbit here. Come on, matey, tell's your name.
Balor bowed courteously.
Tibor.
Tibor? What sort of name's that?
Why, it's simply rabbit. Spelt backwards, me old buckadoodle.
You're a good one, Tibor. Do more magic for us.
Balor adopted a droopingly sad face. His ears flopped downwards.
Alas and alack, old matey friend, I must go. But would you like to see some more magic creatures? We could put on a show of legerdemain, a tale of unrequited love and skullduggery that would astound you.
Aye, that we would, Tibor, matey. When'll you bring your friends?
Tomorrow eve, just after sunset, into the courtyard of yonder fortress, if I have your promise that none shall harm us.
The captain held a grubby paw to his stomach, which he valued far more than his heart.
Promise? You have me oath as a corsair, matey. You and your mates is to be treated like queens and kings, made of butterfly wings, and I'll slit the gizzard of any beast that looks the wrong way at ye.
Until tomorrow night, then, sweet Cloggo.
Balor flung his paw out at the fire. There was a puff of heavy purple smoke, a blinding white flame, and he was gone. The corsairs stood in a hushed group around the fire, rubbing their eyes after the flaring white brightness. Grozzle shook his head sadly.
The magic rabbit's gone, shipped out in a flash. Do you think he'll turn up again like he said he would, Captain?
Clog fished about in his shirt until he found the chunk of mackerel. He nodded as he chewed on it.
Bless your heart, Grozzle. Of course he will. Timber's me matey. Do you hear what he called me? Sweet Cloggo. Ain't that handsome?
Balor trotted back into camp, humming snatches of a tune he was composing.